Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first Mass begin today with the crowning of Our Lady with the crown of roses, recognizing her as our Queen and that most important intercessor on our behalf in heaven. St. Alphonsus relays a story about someone who found out the importance of Mary's intercession on our behalf. It took place in Flanders in the year 1604, and there was two young men there who were university students. Having gone off to university, now they found themselves completely liberated from any constraints that their family may have put on them before, the rules of their house and the restrictions of what is decent and virtue to be followed as taught by their parents. Now, they find themselves just completely on their own, and as is often the case, not knowing what to do with that liberty for themselves. In having it, they abused it, as so often the case happens. They let go of the virtues that they had learned in their youth. They stopped practicing their religion that they had been brought up with, and instead found themselves purely as pleasure seekers, searching to satiate their basest of passions at every opportunity that they can, seeking after illicit pleasure, following illicit pleasure. One such night in which they had gone out and spent the night in revelry, drinking and partying all the evening long, ended up with them finding themselves at a house of ill repute. Here, debauchery, of course, ensued until finally the night grew long, and one of the friends decided it was time to finally go home and sleep it off. His name was Richard, and Richard turned to his friend and said, "Don't you think it's probably time to call it a night? And we'll see each other later." The other friend said, "You go on ahead, Richard. It's fine. I will remain here a little longer. I'm not quite done, but I'll see you tomorrow at school." Richard leaves the house. He makes his way home alone that night, and he gets back to his house. The one thing Richard had maintained all along was a piece of habit from the earliest days of his youth, taught to him by his mother. His mother had taught him and ensured that he did every single night and told him his whole life long, never miss this. She taught him to pray three Hail Marys before he goes to bed every single night. He did it his whole life, so it became habit. He didn't think about it anymore, even though the fact he didn't go to church, didn't frequent the sacraments, had given up on all aspects of trying to be virtuous at all. For some reason, he continued to say these three Hail Marys. And that night, he returned back to his house, and he climbed into bed, exhausted from the night's revelry. And laying there, thinking to himself that he just wanted to sleep, and he had no desire to say those three prayers. What good did it do anyways? After all, he was living a life contrary to anything godly. Yet it gnawed at him, until finally he pushed his weary body up out of bed, clambered down upon his knees, and said his Hail Marys before returning under the covers. With that, those three bleary-eyed mumbled prayers said in distraction, he fell off to sleep. In his sleep, he was faced with quite a stark and unbelievable vision that came across him. A nightmare of sorts, as it were. Before him stood what seemed to maybe be a man, but too hideous to really be man. This disfigured, screaming in agony being came to him in the middle of the night. It terrified him and horrified him in so many ways, and he cried out to it when it didn't just disappear, "Who are you?" The response came to him, an agonizing response. Don't you recognize me? I am your friend, Richard. In realizing that it was indeed his friend, but barely recognizable at all in his disfigurement, he cried out, "What happened to you? You look like a demon." To which the man responded, "You're not far off, Richard, for I am damned." "How can that be? After you left, a little later, I left that house tonight too. And on my way home, I found myself attacked in the street and strangled by robbers and left dead beside the curb. And as I have been so far from virtue, my fate was sealed, and here I am in hell. And this too awaits you, Richard. This is your end and your fate. But Our Lady bid me to come to you and to give you this one last final warning. She did it because of the practice that you maintained, those three Hail Marys before you go to bed." And with that, the warning given, the vision disappeared, and Richard awoke from his sleep with a start, covered in sweat, tears streaming down his eyes, weeping for mercy for his sins. He fell upon his knees, prostrated himself upon his face. He prayed all the rest of the night. The next morning found himself going straight to the church, finding the priest and begging him to hear his confession, in which he unburdened himself of all of his wrongdoings. He reformed his life there on the spot. He made earnest effort from that day forward to leave that sinfulness behind and to try to follow after God again. The soul saved by a simple recitation of Hail Mary. We ourselves, we know we have our own spiritual lives. It is something that we find that is inconsistent to some degree for all of us. Hopefully, we have a consistency in the prayers that we do say, a foundation of prayers. But we know that it fluctuates between times when we find great consolation in our prayers. We offer them easily. We feel fervent to do so. We can't wait to learn more about our faith, to learn about the next saint, to hear the next sermon, to look at the next book, and to find new devotions for ourselves. We're on fire in a way to burn, to grow, and to learn more about our faith, and to offer more in the way of prayers to our Lord. These consolations come to us from time to time, but they are not in themselves a foundation. They are simply an accident. They are something that is given to us as a gift to encourage us to continue onward. And so, when we find consolation, we are grateful. But oftentimes, on the other side of consolation comes dryness, too, and struggle. And we trudge along and we find ourselves staring down many difficulties in the spiritual life. It's hard to pray. We lack desire to do so. We find distractions all around us that easily take our attention. Suddenly we don't have the time. Suddenly we lack any kind of desire. There is no more rewards in the immediate aftermath of our efforts. And instead of this feeling of great optimism about the spiritual reality, We instead find ourselves staring at what seems like a barrier, a wall, our faults and our failings, the things that cause us to be tempted and to sometimes fall in sin. We go, as we're told, to the sacrament of penance. We confess again and again what seems to be the exact same sins, all anew. And it's enough in these times of trial to really cause discouragement. And it becomes even more difficult to maintain. That glimmer of hope that we had before seems so far away from us now in these times. But it is the reality of what we find in that story of that young Richard in the 1600s. That what changed and what saved him was the reality of what he put forth that last night. His mother had set up in him this good habit of saying the Hail Marys before he went to bed. And for whatever reason, he had maintained that. And to that end, Our Lady saw a little bit of a gift in that sense, but it was something said without any devotion or any effort, just merely out of rote and habit. But that one night, in which he arrives home, and he's tired, and he's exhausted, and he's done nothing but sin, and he stares at the back of the day and realizes all he wants is sleep. And his conscience tells him to pray. He has no desire. He has no aspect of reward. He doesn't even himself know why he feels compelled to kneel down anymore. But he forces himself to do so. In that bit, he makes an offering. It's small, tiny sacrifice. A small little giving of himself. A small little bit that is selfless in terms of giving honor to the heavenly queen and ultimately to her son. And in that tiny bit of selflessness, Our Lady gives him chance of eternity in heaven. One last warning to put him on the path. Now for us, we are here because we haven't just gone completely to the side of giving into every base passion and desire and acting like animals in the world. No, we do want to save our souls. We are here because we long to get to heaven. We recognize why we were created. But we recognize as well in that Creator a being who is all good and all powerful and has a solitary desire for us that we may save our souls. And for us who try and put forth effort, it may be inconsistent at times, it may be weak, it may be faulty, we may sin, but so long as we continue to try and put forth that effort, why are we discouraged so easily? Is it not the same good God? Is it not the same Queen who has the access to the treasury of graces? Is it not the same assistance that waits to help us? Of course it is. And so we have to remind ourselves of exactly what we have to put forth in those times of discouragement, in those times of dryness, in those times in which we lack desire and fervor or any kind of immediate reward for our spiritual efforts, we have to make the effort and continue to pray. Even if it be something simple, even if it be short little bursts, even if it's a Hail Mary here and there, an ejaculation at one point in time, whatever it may be. But to push ourselves that little bit, because we give of ourselves a little. And being the good mother, the heavenly mother, the perfect mother, and our queen, Mary opens up the floodgates of grace to help us, to ensure that we find that hope again, that we hold fast to it, and that we keep working to make what we hope in, eternal life, eternal paradise, to make it a reality. This is our mediatrix. This is the operation of our good mother. This is the purpose in the life of our heavenly queen. Turn to her always, but most especially, turn and trust and give yourself to her in those times when it seems most difficult and dark. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.